I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape, and here are some of the stories that the St. Louis Public Newsroom is following today. St. Louis has been selected to join the Brookings Institution's Global Cities Initiative Exchange. Civic Boosters say it's an economic development network that was developed in 2012 designed to help cities grow their local economies. Washington University in St. Louis is announcing plans today for a major expansion of financial aid that will cost about $25 million a year. School leaders hope the financial aid will help change the university's status as one of the nation's least economically diverse top colleges. And authorities say more than 91,000 concealed carry permits have been issued in Illinois since the state began allowing people to carry concealed guns in a public. That would be a year ago. The state denied more than 2,300 applications. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. And it's time now for our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine. Please welcome Executive Editor LaGaia Figueres. Hi, LaGaia.
Hi, Steve.
I have noticed your January issue. It's that time of year again.
It's that time of year. We're watching.
The ones to watch, food and drink pros with promise. Every year, Sauce identifies up-and-comers in the restaurant and bar industry. So what's the background on that series? How long have you been doing it, and how did you ever come up with that concept?
Sure. So the inaugural class was in 2009, and annually since then. I think the idea behind Ones to Watch, we are really interested in young area professionals who we think are going to make a significant contribution to the food and beverage scene here in St. Louis. So I'll give you a quick background as far as the decision-making process goes. This year we have seven individuals. There is no it can be anyone in the food and beverage industry, but there's no stipulation as far as do we need X amount of chefs? Do we need X amount of males or females? It's just we want the best up-and-comers that we can find.
No quotas.
Absolutely not. No, and in fact, this year we had four females and three males, and I think that's really exciting. It happens very organically. The decision-making process happens every single year. Throughout the year, we're keeping running lists on people. We watch, we listen, we talk. What we're looking for as far as criteria is how seriously is an individual taking their career? Do they have drive and ambition to succeed and go further, keep learning? Talent, obviously they have to be talented, exceptionally good at what they do. Dedicated, I think passion. Majority of people that we see in restaurants and bars or whatnot they have the passion. But it's all of this. And we find the answers by obviously watching, talking to coworkers, past and present, bosses, anyone that they come in contact with. And they don't know this is all happening, but it happens year-round, and then it comes time and we have to whittle our list that might begin with 50 individuals down to truly the people we think are going to make an impact.
So the first time you did this was 2009, and you brought along two of those people that in 2009 you identified as the ones to watch. Why don't you introduce them to
it's
us?
It's like a reunion. Okay, so I have Adam Altnether with me today. Adam, I butcher your last name all the time. Altnether. And I also have TJ Vitlicho with me. Adam, at the time, let's start with what they were doing at the time. Adam was chef de cuisine at Niche, and he is now a partner with, who was then his boss, Gerard Kraft, with the Four Niche family of restaurants. TJ, at the time, was an aspiring craft cocktail bartender. At that time, he was 26-year-old, and he was bartending at Monarch. And TJ now has gone on to open Blood and Sand in 2011, and then this summer he opened Death in the Afternoon, another restaurant.
Well, gentlemen, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about that history. Adam, I'll begin with you. What can you tell me about the pre-Ones to Watch years? What was your history before that?
Well, I mean, honestly, before that, it was really just school. And the year before that, I mean, was kind of this meteoric rise to, like, in Niche that just everything just kept coming to me and thrown on my plate, and we just kept doing it. At that point, you kind of have the mentality of just figure it out.
And you've been throwing it on the plate ever since.
Yeah. Right. Mentality is always figure it out still.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always just figure it out. There's always things piling up on your plate, and you just figure out how to do it. And, I mean, at that point, I mean, you don't even realize what's going on around you just because you're so immersed and just so into exactly what's right in front of your eyes.
TJ, what's your story? Before Sauce Magazine picked you out back in 2009, what was your history in the biz?
Really the same. School, and I was putting myself through school through a number of jobs, busing and being a door guy when I was 18 and just making ends meet. And it really wasn't until I met Ted Kilgore and started getting into the craft cocktail scene that I even thought that there was a career in this. So not a whole lot before 2009.
So, yeah, you bring that up. You didn't even know there was a career. I'd like you both to respond to that. Did you have dreams of being in this business for a long time? How did that start? What were your dreams back then?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my parents definitely always cooked a ton at home, like a ton. And I was always in there just probably messing up whatever they were doing or something. But and a lot of people probably scoff at this or something, but I think it was actually the coming of the Food Network that actually kind of makes you see and realize, especially as a kid, everything on TV is super impressionable, but as a kid, that you can actually make a career out of this, right? Like, so you see Emeril or you see Wolfgang Puck, and I mean, all those guys that a lot of people like laugh at now and like that they're hacks and stuff like that. But I mean, those are the guys that kind of like, whoa, you can actually like be a chef as a career.
I didn't even know we were laughing at them now.
I think a lot of people that are super, yeah.
Are they hacks, LaGaia?
Everyone has their place in culinary history.
Good answer. TJ, any thoughts about what we were talking about?
Yeah, well, for me it was a little bit different because really in the last 10 years, craft cocktails have come leaps and bounds from where they were. And it wasn't until I discovered passion in just the drink industry and Jeff and Aaron, who started Monarch, had a vision. And when I saw that vision, when I saw Ted's vision, I really got excited about the creativity that exists in the world of wine and cocktails and food.
You've mentioned, you know, craft bartending a couple times. And, LaGaia, you've brought craft bartenders on here before. So just sort of review, though, the term craft bartender, they're making more than gin and tonics. That's what that means, right?
Sometimes.
You're making
I
up
make
your own drinks sometimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it's.
Well, tell me what craft bartender means to you.
Craft bartending means that I care about every drink that goes over the bar. It probably meant something very different to me in 2009, but today it just means taking that extra step, watching the kitchen work 16 hours a day inspires me to make sure I put every effort into putting the best drink over the bar and making a connection with the guest.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you both. Adam, I'll start with you. Back in 2009 when Sauce Magazine singled you out as one of the ones to watch, you talked about sort of having to kind of fast rise in the business and everything, but what did you see happen after that?
You definitely see it's kind of a weird experience just because, you know, everybody picks up a Sauce Magazine when they see it. Everybody.
I mean, we love that.
Yeah. We have a stack on our bar at all times. I mean, people grab them all the time. And I mean, it's weird because then you start to go out to places that you usually frequent, whether it's a coffee shop or, you know, a place you go get dinner every Monday night or something. I mean, and people like recognize you now. And so now you kind of are thrust into this public eye that now you have to realize that you could be a public figure or something. I mean, it's really weird, still to this day to me, weird for me to think about that some people like look to us as like the what's next, you know?
Did it make you want to continue pushing really hard?
Because definitely. I mean, you have to, in your head, you have to realize that, like, people are watching at all times. So you have to be always pushing and always figuring out what's coming up.
TJ, after you got the plug in the magazine, what about you?
I had no idea why anybody was watching me, especially in 2009. A lot going on. But it was really more about just the figuring it out, as Adam mentioned earlier. You know, you get an idea, you sit around with your friends, you have a couple of drinks, and you said, well, what if we created this? And that's kind of what we did in Blood and Sand, which was right around 2009, 2010, when we kind of pitched this business plan to ourselves while having some Blood and Sands. And it's, you go forward, and then all of a sudden it's 2015, and you don't know where everything went, and you don't know how you got there. So that's really where we are. And I'm glad that there's people like LaGaia in this town and magazines like Sauce, because it really puts an emphasis on you can get out there and do something.
Well, it seems like the industry is pretty healthy these days. Would you agree with that? But at the same time, it's volatile too. I mean, you know, restaurants and bars open and close. I don't know if that's something that concerned you, or maybe you use that to your advantage. I don't know.
Definitely. I mean, to the opening and closing, I mean, St. Louis isn't the vacuum. You know, it's happening everywhere. I mean, but it's really cool to see how this scene, even from 2009, has just exploded. I mean, there's super, super talented people doing their own thing out there. And I mean, it's awesome to...
It's definitely evolved and it continues to evolve. One of the things, as you talk about closings and openings, well, I mean, a fear of a restaurant, of course, for a restaurant owner is, of course, I don't want to close. And what do you have to do to keep people coming back or to get new patrons in? And I think in both of these instances with TJ and Adam, the reasons for why we picked TJ are still exactly the reasons why he's succeeding now and will continue to succeed. And that is, he does have this absolute knowledge and desire to keep learning. What are the best ways that I can improve as a bartender? Or what are the best ways that I can also then mentor other bartenders who are working, you know, at my venue? And in addition, one of the things that he's been doing since I've known you, he's always networking. He's meeting people from outside of this town, bringing this knowledge back and trying to, you know, establish some great protocols at his own restaurant.
That was sort of my next question, where I was getting to. You know, you're in your careers because you love what you're doing, making and preparing food or drinks. But there's a whole PR side of it, and that's part of your job, right?
Yes,
I think that's the hardest part, honestly. I mean, we talk about it all the time, and back in 2009. Sorry, I mean, cooking or coming up with a new dish was the hardest part, right? Or making that dish perfect when it was going out. Now it's figuring out how all that works. And I mean, whether it's from jumping from niche to pasteria to brasserie, I mean, just figuring out all the personnel side of things and figuring out, you know, how to make everyone happy that's definitely the biggest challenge of everyone's day.
My job is very different from 2009 to 2015. I have made one cocktail probably in a year, and that's not necessarily by design. I just am really busy. But the relationships, I think what Lakai was referring to, it is the most challenging and it's the most rewarding because it's all about relationships. I'm not networking on the floor on a Friday night. I'm just connecting with people. And I connect with people when I travel. And I take all of that and I take their passion and excitement, bring it back in, and I constantly create. My career didn't matter to me in 2009. I just wanted to be creative. And this industry allowed me to be always creating and always growing and always learning.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing right now that's exciting, whether it's particular items that you're preparing or whatever aspect it is. Adam, let's start with you. What are you doing now at the Craft Restaurant Group that you're excited about?
Well, right now, I mean, definitely brats on Tuesday at Brasserie. I mean, that's a big thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So they just started this.
Yeah,
they just started last week.
Last week was the second one. So every Tuesday we do a bratwurst pop-up. We just make three different bratwursts, and you come in for lunch super quick. Come in, order at the counter, grab a beer, and get a couple bratwursts.
I like the brats with things in them. I'm really fond of pineapple brats. What have you got that's good?
The next one, actually, one of our ones coming up this Monday or Tuesday is an al pastor
and
brat.
Special mustard's the key to those things, right?
You got right. That. I mean, our last one, I mean, you hit the nail on the head twice. I mean, the last one we had Bolliard's beer mustard on it as well. So, I mean, both. Ooh. Yeah, we just hit mustard and pineapple.
TJ, what about it? Blood and Sand and Death in the Afternoon? What's got your attention now?
Death in the Afternoon is about to launch its microbrewery, Upper 90 Brewing. We'll open in mid-February, so we'll convert into a tasting room in the evenings. And the lunch really that keeps evolving there, from the ramen to the house-made charcuterie. Those guys are really exciting me. Blood and Sand's probably firing on all cylinders at the moment as well. And we've incorporated a lot of seafood recently, from octopus to shrimp, and we're doing squab. So the culinary scene across the board is super exciting.
Well, TJ and Adam, you were the ones to watch back in 2009. And in the current issue of Sauce Magazine, January 2015, we've got the new ones to watch. So whether they're in the magazine or not, personally, you guys, who are you watching?
Well, I mean, the two guys that are in there right now, I mean, we're definitely, like Lagai said earlier, we talk to them all year long, and whether or not we know it, they're talking about their list that they've already come up with. So, I mean, Zach from Sump and Brian from Niche were both people that were talked about in multiple conversations with people at Sauce for Me. And what they're doing in their industry or their restaurants is absolutely incredible. I mean, Zach is an absolute technician in everything he does at Sump. And I think it really delivers an extremely unique and quality product. And what Brian can do, I mean, he's cheese making, he's making vinegar. I mean, anything fermentation is what Brian's doing right now. And I mean, it's super awesome to watch. And I mean, I learn from him every day.
That's the next wave of exciting stuff for me, is everything's becoming fermented. We're fermenting things. And I just ate at Niche very recently, and I was just blown away.
Anybody you're watching in particular?
We actually just talked about Jenny and Ed from Cleveland Heath. I know that we don't get over there enough was our biggest conversation because it's so far away. But I hope that they do something in St. Louis. They're really exciting. Those would probably be the two on my radar at the moment.
And LaGaia, the ones you've got in this issue of Sauce Magazine, any come to mind?
That... Sure. I mean, the two that Adam was speaking of, Zach Althaus, he's the Sump Coffee Brewer. And then the other person was Brian Langstrom. That was the Niche's sous chef. I mean, I'm not going to tell you who we're thinking about for next year. The list has just begun, right? But as far as the ones from this year's team, I think it's fabulous that we found the quality assurance manager at Schlafly, which is expanding in a wonderful way. I love that we found Jenna Pohl. She's a Midwest lamb farmer, and nobody's going to be treating their lambs better than she is. She's a one-person show doing all of this herself, and that's exciting. So every single one of the people in our class of 2015, they're all ones to watch.
Check out Sauce Magazine. It's out on the stands as we speak, right?
Absolutely.
LaGaia Figueres is executive editor of Sauce Magazine and visiting with us today. Adam Altnether, a partner and executive chef at the Kraft Restaurant Group, and T.J. Vitlachil, co-owner of Blood and Sand and Death in the Afternoon. We thank you all for being here. It's been fun talking to you.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk about the Big Muddy Dance Company's performance at the pageant, the first performance by a professional dance company there, and join Don Marsh for St. Louis on the Air for a holiday rebroadcast of his discussion with Jerry and Mike Koenig, who escaped the Warsaw Ghetto as children and survived by spending the last 22 months of the war living under a barn. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Horrier, and Erica Smith. Engineered by Aaron Dorr, the executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Broad Day, right?
Definitely.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.